Welcome to Terrapin 20, presented by Terrapin Sports Central. Today is October 26th, and this is episode 5. We're talking all things Maryland sports in just 20 minutes. I'm your host, Jonas Evans, alongside
Nathan Schwartz
and Brandon Schwartzberg.
And we're going to start with Maryland's close match against Northwestern, 31-24, the final score. Nate, what did we see here?
It was really a mixed bag for Maryland. A rough first half, followed up by a great second half performance all across the board. Of course, the main storyline, Billy Edwards Jr. getting the start in relief for Talia Tungvailoa, who had that sprained MCL he suffered originally back in the Michigan loss, re-aggravated in the Indiana win. Mike Loxley and company felt he just wasn't ready to go this week with the bye coming up this week. Billy Edwards got the start and performed just as well as you would expect for a redshirt freshman making his first collegiate start. 18 of 28, 166 yards through the air and touchdown. Also had 66 yards on the ground as well. More of a dual threat than Tungvailoa provides. But the main story was obviously Roman Hemby. If you watched the game, you saw that he was basically unstoppable. 24 carries, 179 yards, 3 touchdowns, highlighted by the 75-yard dagger of a run he had late in that fourth quarter. And really, when it comes down to this, obviously you got to look at the first quarter, and they came out flat. The offense did not look good. Second quarter was much better. Third quarter was fantastic, and then they had a missed field goal in the fourth quarter. There was a little bit of some jitters there. They get a defensive stop, get a defensive stop, and then Roman Hemby takes it the distance to win that one. So, Brandon, when you look at this game as a whole, some ups and downs, but in the end, they're able to come away with a victory.
Yeah, you mentioned the running game. I mean, Hemby specifically in the first half had just 25 yards. I think a lot of it was because it was not the same offensive line. Mason Lunsford, the normal starter at left guard, he did not come out in the starting unit, and then that moved Spencer Anderson from right guard to left guard, and then Branch from center to right guard, and so the freshman Colton Deary made his first career start at center, arguably one of the most pivotal positions on that offensive line. And so I think that in combination with Billy Edwards Jr., it kind of took some time for both offensive line and Billy to get into the rhythm of things. And that's why Hemby in the running game just took off in the fourth quarter. Again, as I mentioned, Hemby had just 25 yards. Maryland had 69 yards through the first half on the ground. But then it was just all Hemby in the fourth quarter specifically. He entered with 67, and he finished the game with 179. So he ran for over 100 yards in that fourth quarter, including the 75-yard run that was the game winner. That really cemented his status as one of the top backs in the Big Ten. And as a result, he was named Big Ten Freshman of the Week for his outstanding performance.
Yeah, and another player having a great game, Rakeem Jarrett. He had his season high in catches with 8, also had 82 receiving yards and a touchdown that ended up being the go-ahead one in the third quarter. Now, the one thing that we have to note that's also very important is the fact that this team is already bowl eligible. They reached their 6th win. Last year, they did it in their last game. Now they do it for the earliest time since 2001. How big is that? I mean, we knew this team was going to be good. We knew this team was going to be better, most likely, going into the season, but I think Maryland has exceeded a lot of expectations. And to think about it, they even lost a game against Purdue that they probably shouldn't have. They could be 7-1 right now. This is one of the best football teams this program has produced in a while.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Mike Loxley has put the Terps in a really good position to succeed. 6-2 going into the bye week. You can't really ask for much more than that. You bring up the Purdue loss, but you're going to lose games like that in the landscape of the way college football is right now. They were kind of due with the amount of penalties that they had, the way they kind of handed Michigan State that L the week before. They played Michigan close but couldn't quite pull through in the end. They were just bound for a loss like that, and it came with that Purdue loss, and then they're able to get the wins that they should have gotten against Indiana and Northwestern. And now you head into the final third of your schedule. You have Wisconsin on the road. That they got some change in coaching there, but they have a lot of good players. They have Braylon Allen, they have Graham Mertz, they have Chimray DK. They have a lot of guys that can burn you over the top and burn you in the ground game. So they got a tough test there, and then they go to Happy Valley to face Penn State. Then they have Ohio State here at home, and then Rutgers to finish off the season once again. So it's really important that they got this 6th win now, and they can kind of not necessarily take their foot off the gas, but they have that relief knowing that they're already bowl eligible, knowing that they have such a tough Final Four.
Yeah, and I want to focus on the bye. I think it comes at a perfect time because we mentioned the injury to Tagovailoa, but Maryland also played without Jayshon Barham, Ruben Hippolyte, Vandarius Cowan, Emilio Moran, and Gavin Gibson. So they were missing a lot of key contributors against Northwestern, but they squeaked out the win. They now have a week of rest, get most of those guys back healthy as they hit arguably their toughest three-game stretch of the season. And so I think getting those guys back healthy, Wisconsin, you can easily see them winning that. Penn State, that's a tough one. You're going on the road. But again, we saw how the Terps played against Michigan. And, I mean, they were only 7 points away from coming out of Ann Arbor with a victory. So the odds of them winning at Penn State I don't think are super astronomical. And then that big game against Ohio State, having it at home does help. And then, again, ending the season at Rutgers, I think 8 wins probably is very likely a possibility for the Terps. And, again, as you mentioned, getting that 6th win already, I think now they can kind of not play looser, but the Terps now don't have to worry about having all the pressure to get a bowl game. Now it's just getting a better bowl game, trying to get up the ladder of the bowl game as the season goes on.
Yeah, Nate, you mentioned Wisconsin, Penn State, and Ohio State. That is a tough ladder of Big Ten teams. It comes with being in this conference. If the Terps can come away with one team, I think Coach Loxley is happy. If the Terps can come away with 2 wins in that stretch, I think everyone in Maryland is extremely excited about this football team. Quickly to wrap things up, just about Billy Edwards from Coach Loxley. Billy, I'm really proud of that type of Billy came in and really did a tremendous job of leading us and doing the things he's been coached to do. Really excited for the team and for our fan base. The alum showed up today, and it's always great when we get a chance to see former players and former students come back to get a win on homecoming. Is big. It was a homecoming win. Great win for the Terps. They continue to roll. Let's move to women's soccer, Nate, and that 3-1 win over Purdue. They've been having a rough season, but a good way for a good win here in West Lafayette.
Yeah, and absolutely, and it was really a bright spot for the freshman Ava Morales, somebody that's likely going to be on this team for years to come and grow with Coach Nemzer in the long haul, and it's really rebuild of the program. And she had a fantastic game, her first 2 collegiate goals come in this one. And it's just they get a win against a struggling Purdue team, didn't get a conference win all year. Maryland finishes 3-7 in the conference. That's a game they're gonna have to win when you beat the teams you're supposed to beat in a rebuild like this. You have to win those games. You have to build upon those games. So they didn't really necessarily improve record wise from last year. They still finished with a very similar record, finished 4-8-5 this year. But still, nonetheless, you can feel the tide has shifted with the program. There's really nowhere to go up with Ray Leon, but now they've built something with Megan Ryan Nemzer. And I'll get into this in a minute after you guys share your thoughts. But I think they're in a really good spot moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, Maryland won its first conference game of the season against Michigan. And so you thought, okay, here's the Terps. They're ready to do some fighting in the Big Ten. But then they lose their next 7. And then you're just like, okay, can they close out the season on a high note, get it to the end of the fall where it's not, you don't go out on 9 losses, because that's something that it's really brutal for a program. And so the 1-0 win over Indiana and then the 3-1 showing against Purdue, I think were big for the confidence of the Terps as they head into next season. That 3-goal output, that was their second highest, that was tied for their highest of the season. Again, they scored 3 against George Mason in a 3-0 win. And so I think it was a great sign to see that offense at the end of the season in the final match of the season show out in a big way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they close out with 2 straight wins. It's big. Coach Nemzer's first year. I think there's a lot of positivity. I still think the Terps definitely did not perform to the level that they could have. We saw from the way they played against Michigan that this was a team that at any point could beat almost every team in the Big Ten. And especially directly after that Michigan win, when you'd expect the performances to be maybe at the highest level we'd see all season, I think that's where they struggled almost the most, especially defensively. So I think there's definitely a lot of good here, mostly good, especially for a first year for the coach. This weekend marks the first time the Terps have recorded back-to-back road victories since they've joined the Big Ten. So they're definitely closing out on a high note.
No doubt about that. And the one thing I did want to bring up as the season's wrapping up and Coach Nemser's got to move forward with recruiting, especially because you look at the roster and the way it's constructed. Cam Fisher, I'm just going to rattle off some players here that are graduate students or seniors that played pivotal roles this year. Cam Fisher, Alyssa Porch, Sophie Venus, Mia Isaac, Amanda Schaefer, Krista Waterman, Malike Days, Michaela Days, Alina Stahl, and Olivia Hicks all played vital roles on the team this year. That's a majority of their starting lineup and their pivotal players off the bench. They're either graduate students or they're seniors. So a lot of those players, it's likely that they don't come back, especially the graduate students who have maximized their eligibility. Expect the Days sisters are for sure gone, and those have been two mainstays in that lineup for the past 5 years. So it's definitely going to be a big turnaround, and it's a good step for the rebuild, the steps they took this year with Coach Nemser. But moving forward, it's going to be a very different-looking roster than we're used to seeing.
Yeah, five of those Terps led the team. They led the team. They were the top five in minutes. And then Stahl and Porch, each they were top two on the team in goals with 5 and 4. And then the next was Michaela Days and then Ava Morales. So I think Ava Morales, expect to see her take a big jump her sophomore year.
Yeah, absolutely. The Terps ended up being outscored 27-16 on the season, and they actually outshot their opponents. So finishing is going to be something that Coach Nemser is definitely going to focus on next year. But Nate, you're right. I mean, that recruiting, we're going to see it's going to be a big test for the new head coach. Let's move now to we continue to talk about this. One of the best teams from the Terps, but a surprising loss for Maryland Field Hockey.
Yeah, it just didn't seem like from the get-go. Well, they had an opening goal in about 5 minutes in from Danny Van Rootselaar, who just continues to prove how big of an asset she's been for this team. But then just nothing went right after that opening goal. About 5 minutes later, Penn State ties things up, and then just a brutal second quarter for Maryland. They give up 3 goals, go down 4-1. And this is really the first time all year that they just didn't have an answer for the opponent in that Princeton loss that they had back on September the 20th. Their only loss prior to this Penn State one, that they were fighting back. That was a constant battle, went into double overtime. But there was just something about this match that it just wasn't there for Missy Maharg's squad. They got Hope Rose in there a little bit. She finally came back from her injury late in that game. But still, nonetheless, Maryland had clinched a share of the Big Ten title in that previous game, could have won outright by beating Penn State. But now they have to share that title with the Nittany Lions after that brutal 5-1 loss.
Yeah, you mentioned it was the first loss since that Princeton loss, and it was just very different. That Princeton loss was a double overtime thriller. This was done from about after about the 18th minute. I mean, Penn State took a 3-1 lead, and then they added another in the 21st, and then they added a final fifth one just as the minutes winded down in the fourth. But I think this is a different loss than the Princeton loss. This was a killer. They could have really cemented themselves as the top team in the Big Ten. It's a tough one. They now have two non-conference games to finish their season, and so now they just wait and see what happens with Penn State, if it'll finish as an outright winner, if they'll share it with the Nittany Lions in the Big Ten regular season title.
And just talking about, like, players overall, they still didn't have Emma DeBurdine in this loss, so there's still some injuries. They'll get Hope Rose back in the lineup a little bit, but still just a brutal loss. They finish off their regular season with two non-conference opponents. They host Virginia later today, and then they go to UConn this weekend to finish things out in the regular season, and then it's on to the postseason. So it's going to a loss like this late in the year, definitely something that you need to take as a learning experience, because you're not going to be able to lose more games down the line.
Right, and we were mentioning this winning streak. The Terps, during that winning streak, they beat number two Northwestern at the time, who actually beat Penn State a few games ago. So anything can happen in the Big Ten, and I think obviously the expectation was for the Terps to win this matchup, but anything can happen. This is the Big Ten. We see it all across the conference. No win is guaranteed, especially in a conference as competitive as this one. Is that all we have for field hockey?
I believe so.
All right, let's move on to volleyball, which has continued to struggle. They're 12-10 on the season, but the regular season has not gone well for them, and it continued on Saturday when they lost 3-0 to Northwestern, and it's just not a lot of things went right for this team.
Yeah, it just seems like whenever there's a positive, it just comes back with a negative. They had that three-game streak against Rutgers, Northwestern, and then shockingly get that road win against Purdue in the three-sweep set. And then they come back, have two matches in 2 days. The first one to Penn State, where they snag a set away from the Nittany Lions, who's ranked number 13 in the country at that point. Then they lose that one, and then Northwestern a little bit after the football game, and then they lose in three sets. So still both those matches were at home. So it just seems like they get the three wins on the road, they have the momentum coming back home, and they can't take advantage of it. And now they're back on the road once again for another three-game stretch, where they have to go to Iowa, then they have Nebraska again, then they have Penn State again. So, and when you're sitting at 3-7 in the conference, 12-10 overall, it's just whenever there's momentum, it just seems like it goes away immediately with this team.
I actually don't think that going on the road is such a bad thing for the Terps. After they won their first two matches of the season at home, they've gone 0-7 at home since since then. And you mentioned that three-game win streak that they had. All three were on the road. So it's just something about Maryland. The Terps seem like a better road team, so I have more hope for them to come out with one, maybe two wins this road trip against Iowa, Nebraska, and Penn State.
Yeah, and look, Maryland is still a very good defensive team. They continue to lead the country in blocks per set. Raynell Jones is now the number one blocker in the whole country. She's number one at 1.71 blocks per set. Anastasia Russ also shout out on that list. She's number eight with 1.5. I think the Terps do a lot of really good stuff. Every time we see this team, it's the inability to close. It's the inability to return well. I think the setting has been an issue. And we're seeing the same stuff because we're good performances from Sam Sire. Again, she led the team in kills. She continues to be a force. She had 15 on the day, three blocks. There's a lot of good things with this team, but they can't finish out sets. They lose the first one 25-23, second one 25-20, third one 25-20. These are close sets. They are not getting blown out. When it comes down to crunch time, there is no execution. There is no person to rely on. Even Sam Sire doesn't really have the best of performances when it comes to crunch time. And I think that's been the downfall of them is in this game, but especially in this season. Should we move on to men's soccer, who is our actually most recent game? They just scored, or they just finished yesterday night.
Yeah, they just, as we're recording this, just about 30 minutes ago, they defeated Delaware in their final home match of the regular season, 4-1. A match that no doubt they should have won, and it was honestly the best performance they've had offensively in a couple weeks. They had a goal from Griffin Dillon, Stefan Capetti, Justin Harris, and then Mac DeVries, the freshman, gets his first collegiate goal in the 88th minute to close things out. Just a standard performance against a more inferior opponent in the Blue Hens of Delaware, and a win that was much needed. They had a tough conference slate recently with the Wisconsin draw, and then they lost the High Point, the out-of-conference opponent. Then they picked up that win against Michigan State, a desperate conference win. And now with this Delaware win, they sit 9-2-4 overall. Their final conference match is this upcoming Sunday at number 21 Indiana. So that's going to determine their seeding in the Big Ten tournament. They're in the driver's seat right now. They have the most points. They lead the conference. If they can get a win or even a draw against Indiana, they're going to get the number one seed in the Big Ten tournament. So it's really just a matter of executing for Sasha Sarofsky's squad. They've had some blunders as of late. Northwestern draw, Wisconsin draw, High Point loss. But now back-to-back wins. If they can take the momentum into Indiana and into the Big Ten tournament, they should be right on track.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think this was a huge win. To give them some more confidence, because yes, they beat Michigan State, but it was 1-0. It wasn't their best showing. They had 13 shots. They only scored the one goal from William Kovic in the 13th minute. So I think this was good for the offense. The four goals are the most since they scored six against Virginia all the way in early September. So this was a good out of conference showing. Get back the momentum as you head to Bloomington for your final match of the season, and hopefully take the Big Ten regular season crown.
Yeah, and that about does it for our show. Make sure to follow Terrapin Sports Central on Twitter at Terps Central, as well as follow. Make sure to follow all our coverage on TerrapinSportsCentral.com. Follow all our socials. As always, it has been Jonas Evans alongside
Nathan Schwartz
and Brandon Schwartzberg.
And we'll be back next week to recap another 20 minutes of Maryland athletics. Stay tuned.